In a time when truth is censored, one name stands out. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, the relentless seeker of knowledge and defender of freedom. Explore groundbreaking findings at drtenpenny.com. Ignite your mind with riveting podcasts, explosive articles, research-driven substacks, webinars, ebooks, and more. In an era plagued by environmental toxins and vaccine-related exposures, Dr. Tenpenny has expertly crafted a selection of safe detox protocols that facilitate profound healing at a cellular level. It's time to cleanse, rejuvenate, and restore your body vitality. With heart damage on the rise, Dr. Tenpenny introduces nationwide ECP therapy to repair hearts and achieve optimal health. Seize the opportunity and embrace the wealth of resources, information, and health recommendations awaiting you at drtenpenny.com and become a Tenpenny podcast member to join our mission in the quest for uncensored truth, the health of our nation, and medical freedom.
Good morning, everybody. I guess I was waiting to go live, and here I'm live. So good morning, everyone. My name is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. I want to extend a warm welcome to everyone who joins me here for our weekly morning coffee with Dr. T. It's an event that we plan every week to get together and just chat, have open forum question and answer, so I can specifically answer questions that are pertinent to you. But please remember to post your question or pose it in a way that's generic and that will be beneficial to everyone. I cannot answer specific medical questions. That just wouldn't be a good thing for me to do as a physician, and it wouldn't be good for everybody listening either. That would not work. So I want to welcome everybody for being here this morning. It's been a couple of beautiful days here in Northeast Ohio, and I decided to wear red, white, and blue today because it's kind of still 4th of July. I mean, I was off last week doing some different things, and so this is kind of my 4th of July celebration. So I just want to welcome everybody. I hope you had a great weekend. We had 3 out of 4 days of just fabulous weather here. It was hot, but it was there was a breeze and just full sun, so it was really, really nice. I just want to start this morning by just welcoming everybody and saying how much I appreciate you being here. I do, and it seems as though we've got some pretty regular people that pop in here on Tuesday mornings. If you want to post this up in the Q&A that Cookie and Heather can see it over there, we've been talking about making some changes to further our reach and to be able to reach out to more people and be able to get this good information to more people. And so I was wondering we've been kind of bantering around of whether we should do this on a Twitter space and do it, for a larger sort of audience on Twitter, or if we should do it in an evening time that maybe that would reach more people because people are working during the day. We're just kind of bantering those things around. So if you've got an opinion or you've got a comment that you want to make about that, we are welcome to it. And we would really like to hear what you have to say. The other thing is, it seems as though right now that the hottest topic of the day, hold on one second. It seems as though that the hottest topic of the day seems to be this bird flu. And it's a little disappointing to me that everybody has got their knickers in a knot over it. I mean, you would think that this is the same playbook that they used in 2005 for bird flu. They had an H1N1 epidemic in 2011. We've been through 3.5 years or 4 years now of COVID lockdown nonsense. And you would think that the vast majority of people would be, no way. Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me 3 times, absolutely not. And people would just look at this as just another scamdemic, another thing that they're trying to whip up the fear factors for. They've already got, if you saw my Substack from Saturday, you would see that the title of the Substack on Saturday was the bird flu vaccines are not coming, they're here. Because they've already have 3 in the can that were approved before, one in 2007, one in 2013, and one in 2020. And I found the package inserts on all 3 of them because they are officially approved, which means they have official package inserts, which is required of a product that is on the market. So I found the three package inserts and they're linked into the Substack that you can look into for them yourself. If you don't know how to read a package insert, we have a great course over at Learning for You on how to read a package insert. You know, it occurred to me when I created that course that we're always telling people, go read the package inserts, go read the package inserts. Well, if you don't have a medical background, pulling that piece of paper out, which is unfolds and unfolds and unfolds and unfolds, and spreading it out and trying to understand can be pretty onerous if you don't have a medical background. And so I created this course and went through each section on a package insert. They're the same. They're required by law. They are the same layout on every single vaccine and with every single medication. So you can go to the first section is always about, you know, when it was manufactured, what age group it's entitled to, any sort of things about the manufacturer. That's in the first section. Then you don't have to read all the middle part. It's if you aren't interested. It's really like studies and ways that they're supposed to show that that this is a good product. And remember, the FDA requires manufacturers to make a package insert, not for the general public, but it's supposed to be to educate doctors. Now, doctors don't even read those things, but they're there. And the second most important section on a package insert is section number 11. And section number 11 is the section that tells you the ingredients. So, and then the very last section tells you about warnings and contraindications. So I found all three of the package inserts on those bird flu vaccines, and I linked them into the Substack. It says right after the name of the manufacturer, who made it, and then it'll say package insert, and there's a hyperlink there, and that will take you right to the package insert. If you haven't taken the course, how to read a package insert, and if you don't know, and you open up this big thing with all this medical jargon, all the stuff on it, you go, I don't even know where to start. Take the course on how to read a package insert. It's really good. It's really self-explanatory. It's got great screenshots on each one of the slides to explain it to you very well. And so on the bird flu,
I'm sorry, just since you're on the course, if they use code COFFEE, they'll get 15% off of the course.
Oh, great. I didn't know that, Cookie. Thank you for doing that. And thank you for popping in and saying that. So if you just to repeat, she said, if you go to that how to read a package insert, or is it for any of the courses or just for that one?
That's for the insert course.
Okay. For how to read a package insert, she put the link up there for everybody that's on the Zoom. She probably put it into Rumble too. And so if you click on that and you sign up for that course at checkout, there's a place where you can put on all of our checkouts on all the things that you buy. There's always a place where you can put a code at the end. And Cookie is saying that at Learning for You, if you sign up for that course, if you sign up for that course and at checkout, you put in the code COFFEE, you will get 15% off in that course.
Make it easier for everybody, since some are listening and they're not watching, we have a bit.ly link for it. And that's if you just go to bit.ly/read-insert, you'll get to the course. And just like Dr. T said, use the code COFFEE, COFFEE, and you'll get 15% off. bit.ly/read-insert. I'm sorry, read-insert.
There you go. So I think it's a course that you'll enjoy. Even if you know somewhat about package inserts, this will break it down even further for you and explain it to you. It would be something that I would recommend to your family and friends, because we're always saying this, go read the package insert. Where's the package insert? And how do you read the package insert? Well, we made it simple for you. We created a course for you about that. So back to the bird flu vaccines, I don't know. I shouldn't be surprised. Nothing should surprise me anymore. But the fact that they already have three vaccines in the can ready to go, plus Moderna has been granted $176 million through BARDA. And anytime you see BARDA anywhere in anything that you read, any news story, BARDA is part of HHS, part of Health and Human Services. And it is the nefarious dark side of the government, one of them. But anything that has BARDA's fingerprints on it, you know it's not good. It's just not good. And BARDA is the intermediary between the U.S. government and the pharmaceutical industry. They are the ones that navigate these grants that are made to these other big organizations. So through BARDA, the U.S. government has given Moderna $176 million to start to develop an mRNA bird flu vaccine, which is not good. And then I don't know if any of you saw the clip yesterday, and I don't know if that was a recent clip or if it came from a while ago, but I saw the clip yesterday where Bill Gates was talking about, you know, everything that you can think of should have a messenger RNA, diseases, infections, every sort of thing. We just have to, quote, mess around with it a little bit because it's cheap to make. We can get vaccines that we can make them in a matter of weeks, and it's going to cost pennies. We should use it for, we should use it for everything. So that's what's coming. They telegraph to us all the time. So, I just want to say to people, why are you worried about this? You know, the article came out, another article came out yesterday that said it is not transmitted. This bird flu vaccine is not transmitted into raw milk. And there isn't a single person that's gotten sick from drinking raw milk, even from cows that are infected. They're when bird flu came around the last time back in 2005, when they set everything up, they killed off 1/4 of the entire world's chickens. That's shocking to hear that. And the way they did it was so brutal. And, you know, sometimes it's hard for me to eat cows and chickens when I think about the brutal way that some of them were killed. But there are humane butchers out there. And I get my beef from a local rancher who does take his cows when they're ready to be butchered to a humane butcher place over. It's a little teeny tiny town over on the east side of Ohio. The town is literally a crossroad and it's just a crossroad. And this little town is sort of circled around there where they have the post office and they have a little community store and they have the butcher shop and not much else. And it's, you know, they humanely butcher the cattle there. And so, it's coming again. And in fact, I'll just give you a little cue up. I wrote a book back in 2005. I wrote it in real time. It was called Fowl Bird Flu. It's Not What You Think. And it was mostly an environmental book. I showed that these garden variety influenza viruses, when exposed to environmental toxins, it made them much more aggressive. Well, because of what's happening right now, I went back and reread the book and my team reread the book and said, man, you got to update this and put this out there. Because all the things that happened in 2005 have been used during COVID, during the swine flu outbreak of H1N1 in, I believe that was 2009 or 2011, and everything that they did in COVID. And so I'm updating it. I'm almost done with it. Probably in the next 2 weeks, we'll have that done. It's a historical book. It shows you the history of everything that they've done in the last 20 years. And if you guys remember, the World Economic Forum said at the very beginning of COVID, proudly on a little video on their website that said, we've been working on this for 50 years. We've been planning your enslavement for 50 years is the subtext of that. Well, you know, this shows all the stuff that has happened in the U.S. I've dug out some things that very few people have talked about that I'm going to expose. It's a historic book, it's a political book, and it kind of summarizes things and compares what happened to bird flu in 2005, with COVID, and it kind of lays out a little bit of what they're planning now, which is just the same playbook, same virus, different period of time. So I think when it's done, you're really going to enjoy it. It's going to be a couple of people have read through it as much as I've had done, and they really like it and say it's kind of a page turner. So I'm just giving you a little heads up that that's coming down the road in probably about a month. So that's, I think you'll like it. And speaking of books, my book one of Walking with God is out. If you go to drtenpenny.com and you scroll down a little bit on the page, you can find it directly there. I hope everybody by now has gotten a copy of this and you're using it on your nightstand to read a little story about challenging your faith and why we pray and there's hope in God and the depth of God's love that you'll get one of this. And book two is probably coming out within the next month. So we're almost done with that. So I've been busy. I've been really busy trying to get great information out to you and into your hands.
If you don't mind, I'd love to invite Heather to just say something about the Fowl book because she's been reading it and the manuscript and has had some great comments about it. Heather, do you mind? I'm sorry I put you on the spot there.
No, I don't mind whatsoever. Dr. T, I think, summed it up nicely. I am very much so enjoying it. I read a lot. And it's exceptionally well written. And I'm not saying that because I work with Dr. T. It really is genuinely exceptionally written. And it gives you a wonderful perspective, as Dr. T mentioned, into the historical, I'll call it the playbook, what's been done and the tactics and approach that's been taken. And she does a masterful job of bringing it to current day to illustrate very simply and clearly to the reader. You don't need a science background to read it, but if you want to get the science, she gives you all the links. I give you a little plug there. All the links are in there. It's well referenced. And you will learn an immense amount of factual data about how this plan has been marching forward for a very long time and how it relates to you today. And right now they're doing it with bird flu, but who knows, they could do it with whatever, insert whatever term you want in there. So yes, I'm a little critical when I recommend books, and when I recommend it, you should read it. So I'll give myself a plug, I guess. So when it comes out, please get it. Even if you have the original, I have the original. I read it many years ago. This is fantastic.
Well, thank you, Heather. Hey, if you guys could see me, I'm probably blushing a little bit. But thank you very much for that endorsement. We're going to, as soon as I'm done with the manuscript, which will probably be in about 2 weeks, and we have some final things that we have to go through. It's a real process putting a book together. And then we will probably put it up for pre-sale because it's timely and we need to get this into people's hands. And I think that once you read it, when you read it, you won't have any compunction about any of these nonsensical things that the World Health Organization and WEF and even our own government are trying to do to us. Again, they've already been talking about lockdowns and masks and all that stuff. Excuse me. And I hope that there are enough people that have learned enough through the COVID nonsense, through all the speeches and interviews that I've done, through all the things that a lot of other activists have done, like the Five Docs and all of them and Peter McCullough and all kinds of people were trying to get the warning out about the mRNA vaccines. Hopefully there's enough people that go, not doing that, not wearing that mask again. I'm not, masking up my 2-year-olds. I'm not doing any of that stuff. So this is the best thing I like about this book. And I was kind of pushed into it because I knew it was going to be a lot of work, and it has been, is that as I went back and reread it, it's like, wow, this was really good from when it was published in 2005. So hopefully, I don't want to belabor the point any longer than what I already have, but hopefully that this will be something that will get your attention and will be putting it on your bookshelf real soon.
And no, Dr. T did not pay me to say that. I said that of my own volition and my own initiative, my genuine review.
Thank you, Heather. Yeah, you said it in our group chat that it was a really page turner and that you were really enjoying it. And she is correct. She's kind of picky about her recommendations because she doesn't do that just willy-nilly. So thank you, Heather, for doing that. So let's get on to some of the questions that we have here in the Q&A. Let's see. The first one says, I've had back and hip pain since February. I made an appointment with my DO this week since I did not get any help from the therapist or the chiropractor. The DO will probably require an MRI or x-rays. Is MRI without dyes healthier than an x-ray? I'm not sure what to do or what is wrong. an MRI is, the MRI stands for magnetic resonant imaging. So what an MRI is, it's actually two huge, ginormous magnets. One, yes, you go through the tube, one is in the front, one is in the back. You hear all this bang, 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 bang when you're getting an MRI. That's just shooting the magnetic charges across. And then MRI, then they have learned how to interpret that, you know, if there's a solid, if it's a liquid, it's a black color. If it's a solid, it's a white color. And so the MRI is really a big magnet that takes those pictures, those slices, those images that they make and run it through a really fancy dancy software, and it turns it into pictures. And then the pictures are set on like a rheostat that they can be opened and closed so the radiologist can interpret them. And you can see them in various different levels. So an MRI is a magnetic picture. I can't tell you how many times I've heard over the years when I was seeing patients in the office that they went for an MRI, like they went for an MRI with for their shoulder because they had all this pain in their shoulder. And after the MRI, the shoulder pain was gone. It's because they got magnetic energy treatment on their shoulder. Now, that doesn't happen every time, but it happened enough that I remembered that. And so, and they usually only use a dye with an MRI if you've had previous surgeries, because the scar tissue lights up as white, and it's sometimes difficult to distinguish between scar tissue from having a surgery and a tumor. And so the dye helps to delineate the images a little bit better. So usually they don't order an MRI with contrast unless you've had surgery. So the MRI without that is fine. And if you got an x-ray, particularly of your back or your hip, you get so little radiation. The drill down on the x-rays these days is so minimal. I mean, you get more x-ray radiation by just working out in your yard on a sunny day than you get from, say, a hip x-ray. So it's really not a lot to be concerned about. If you've been seeing a chiropractor and a therapist and it's not getting any better, and it's your hip and your back, your DO might order both. Usually the protocol is you start with the x-rays, and if you don't see anything on the x-ray, you advance to the MRI, and that has to do with cost. X-rays are much, much less expensive than what an MRI is. And so if you can find the problem with an X-ray, just do it, because it's the cheapest and least invasive and a way to look at the bones and the ligament, the bones first for arthritis and disc space narrowing. And if there's any tumors or anything like that, you can frequently find it with an x-ray. So most of the time you start with x-rays, and if you don't see anything on the x-rays, then the next ramp up is an MRI. And the MRI would be looking for things that would be going on with nerves, and to see if there's in the discs between your vertebrae. It can also look for any signs of inflammation from bursitis on your hip. It can, and they may just start with an x-ray because of they're looking for arthritic changes and things like that first. So hopefully, Joan, that gave you a little bit of backdrop on that, and that will help you make your decision. Next question is suggestion to help special needs children who have trouble with
constipation.
I think that's supposed to say constipation. Constipation due to lack of mobility. The simple things, it's probably a bit of a challenge with a special needs child, but it's, you know, lots of water is really important, because the main function of your colon, the main primary function of your colon, is that when you eat and all your digested food goes through, most of your digestion and absorption of nutrients happens in your small intestine. And then the residual, what's left over, goes into your colon. Not much happens there, except that's the transient transient for the waste to go out of your body. And the main function of the colon is to reabsorb all the water that was in there from your stomach, from eating your food, and all the water in your small intestine. So it recycles the water, or you would be dehydrated. So one of the simplest, biggest, important things to do is to make sure that the child is well hydrated, that whatever his or her weight is, let's just say they weigh 50 pounds, then you should try to drink about 25 ounces of water a day, which would be about 2.5 glasses. And you can flavor it. There's some flavored stevias out there that are good, or you can put just a dash of orange juice or cranberry juice or something like that in it. They don't, you know, really just want to drink plain water. I mean, there's lots of things that can be done to pretty up the water and make it be a little bit better. And another thing they could add is like the fulvic minerals. We've talked about fulvic minerals a lot, and how we can make it and put it in with your water. And fulvic minerals is really important for GI health. Make sure that they have a good probiotic on board. You can either have it as a pill or something that you chew and swallow. There's all kinds of probiotics on the market. The one that we like the best and I've used for 20 years in the clinic, it's called Optibiotic. It's in our store. It's a little tiny pill if they can swallow a pill. If not, you can open the capsule and sprinkle it on a little bit of apple juice and have them take it in that way. So it's really about water, roughage, probiotic is probably the best thing that you can do. And everybody, I mean, I think just about everybody, except the people that are the water junkies that are constantly walking around with a water bottle and sipping on it all day long, I think that most people tend to be dehydrated with water. And actually, there's a special right now that you can get if you go to drtenpenny.com/fulvic, F-U-L-V-I-C, you can get a bottle of fulvic minerals for $10. So you can put a few drops of that in some water. That's what Michelle talked about that on a previous morning coffee about how she makes hers. She actually made a little video about it, you know. And so, you know, that you can get that and try that with your special needs children. Again, it's drtenpenny.com/fulvic, F-U-L-V-I-C. And you can get your first bottle of that for $10. So you can try that and see if that doesn't help with the constipation. And that's not just for special needs children. That would apply to anybody who has any issues with their bowels. Fulvic minerals is kind of the way to go there. Okay, the next question is, what are your thoughts about the body's endocannabinoid system and cannabinoids such as CBN to help with sleep? The bioendocannabinoid system has really only been, I can't say only been discovered, that's probably the wrong word, but focused on in the last 10 or 15 years. And of course, it's been around in our body ever since man was put on this earth. It is a completely separate system that we don't talk about a lot, and we don't talk about it a lot in conventional medicine, except to dismiss it. There aren't really any that I'm aware of, or there's not a lot of pharmaceutical drugs that address the cannabinoid system. But the cannabinoid system is a way to clean out your body. It also helps you sleep. I'm not an expert on that area. I haven't spent a whole lot of time there, but Oh, excuse me.
Thank you.
Excuse me. But, you know, the CBD oils, there are CBD oils out there in drops and gummy bears and all sorts of things. The cannabinoid system got a really bad rap because it's the place where marijuana works. And that's a whole topic of discussion between, you know, the pros and cons of prescription medical marijuana, when it should be used. I haven't gotten into that space. I feel like there are a lot of people who are experts on that, and those are the people you should defer to. But I know for some people, the cannabinoids like CBD and CBD oil and gummy bears taken at bedtime, there are people that just sleep like $1 million. I know when I first had the stroke, I tried that because my sleep was so disrupted and it didn't work for me at all. In fact, it had the opposite effect. I was like wide awake I, you know, so then I thought, well, maybe I should take it at like 11 o'clock in the morning so I'd have a little bit more energy through the course of the day. And that kind of backfired. That didn't really work either. So it's a little, it's safe to try. You're not going to disrupt anything. It's the CBD is not really, it's not addictive. In the marijuana plant, it's the THC part. There's a ratio between something called THC and CBD. And the ratio between the two of those are what make the varietals and the different types of plants, of cannabinoids, of marijuana plants. And I've always said that, you know, back in the 60s, they made marijuana, they called it a gateway drug. And they made it a class one drug. It was in the same class as heroin. And for 60 years, well, not quite that long now, maybe at least for 50 years, it was given a bad rap and a terrible thing. And people would get arrested and go to jail, sometimes even prison, for having, you know, a few little marijuana cigarettes wrapped, you know, for their own personal use that the cops found in their car. That was the crime, in my opinion. In my opinion, that was the crime. And if they, over the last 50 years, marijuana, they call it weed for a reason, because it's a weed. It grows in God's garden freely, lots of places. And if we would have studied that weed and the ratios between THC and CBD all of these years, and done just basic botany, you know, like a yellow and a blue flower creates a green flower, you know, and things like that, or red and a yellow flower makes an orange flower. That's basic botany. And if we would have done basic botany for all of these years and found out which ratio of plant, higher THC, lower THC, higher CBD, lower CBD, what ratio, we found this varietal, we'll call it varietal X. And X, this particular ratio seems to work really well for people with seizures. And plant Y with this ratio seems to work really well for people with irritable bowel syndrome, and on and on and on. We could have had an entire pharmacy of natural products out of God's garden, God's weed, that could cure almost everything. And that is the reason why they made it a class one drug, a felony drug, and kept it out of the hands of botanists and naturalists and naturopaths and herbalists and things like that. So they could never, ever find the solution to that. To me, that is the crime, not growing a few marijuana plants in your basement for your own personal use. So that's kind of a long-winded way to say, try it and see if it works. There are lots of different ratios of the CBD oil, and CBD like gummies and food things like bars and things like that. And sometimes you have to, if you're trying to do it for sleep or for anxiety, sometimes you have to try several different ratios and several different products until you can find whether or not there's one that you find that seems to work for you. Okay, next question. I'm not sure about asking this, but can you explain what binders do? I believe nicotine patches have been hailed as a binder, and there's various products available that are binders. Do they all do the same or different things? Can you overdo it from different binders at the same time? I'm confused when to use a binder. Well, Dorothy, you're right. There are lots of different kinds of binders, and they're used for a lot of different things. There are a lot of different types of chemicals, like activated charcoal is a binder. Diatomaceous earth is a binder. What a binder does as a general, as a broad-based explanation is that it binds up, it globs onto things that you want to get rid of out of your body. You know, so I think that's, so if you've had food poisoning or there's something like that, like something like activated charcoal is a binder that would bind it up in your gut and pass it on out through your stool. There are also smaller chemical binders, like you mentioned, the nicotine patches. That binds onto, it globs onto nicotine receptors in your whole body, which nicotine receptors are on every organ of your body. And so it blocks the entryway of, say, the spike protein or other toxic chemicals into your system. It binds up to that receptor so that the things that would normally bind to that receptor can't. So it's not like you would go to the store and say, I want to buy a bottle of binders. It doesn't really work that way. It's like you need to know more what those things are and know what they're using them for. But those are a couple of simple ones and that you would be able to use easily and have in your cupboard. So that's what you use them for. You're trying to either block something from getting into your system, or you're trying to grab hold of something and try to get it out of your system. It's kind of like when we did the webinar a couple of weeks ago with Dr. Lee on zeolite, and he made a big distinction between activated charcoal and how that works in your gut. But it's a large particle, and it doesn't get absorbed into your bloodstream, where zeolite is a nano-sized particle. You know, I think some people misinterpreted what he said. It's not nanotechnology. It's a nano-sized, meaning 1 to the -10th power. It's a teeny, itty bitsy, teeny little molecule that gets absorbed into your system. That's why it's a spray, and you take it underneath your tongue. You can put it spray it in your water because it gets in your system and then goes through your bloodstream and your lymphatics and acts like a dust mop. You know, picking up the stuff that doesn't belong there and then taking it out through primarily through your kidneys, a little bit through your bile and somewhat through your stool, but primarily through your kidneys. So so zeolite is a binder. It binds up heavy metals that you don't want there. It binds up light metals like aluminum. It binds up persistent organic pollutants and takes those out of your system. So that's another type of binder that's really good for your body. It's easy to take. It's a spray. And people say, well, how do I know it's working? Because it just is. It's like when you take an antibiotic, do you know at that minute that it's working? Do you know when you take vitamin C or vitamin D or vitamin A? How do you know it's working? You just know that it is because that's what it's supposed to do in your body. So, Dorothy, I hope that clears that up for you a little bit about binders. The next question, Molly asks, I'm now in my 60s and I'm discovering that I have more gas and more foul-smelling gas than usual. I've noticed this more after eating avocados or anything with avocado oil in it. Would it be helpful if I started taking digestive enzymes, could it be parasites? The answer is yes and yes. Digestive enzymes are, I think the older we get, the more we need to make sure that we use digestive enzymes when we eat. We've got some really great digestive enzymes in our store there that we've been using for a really, really long time. And I take digestive enzymes after every meal. And it's because as we get older, we have less acid in our stomach and we have less ability, less enzymes in our intestinal tract. It's just aging. And so when you buy a bottle of digestive enzymes, it usually says on the side of the bottle, take before you eat, which has never particularly made sense to me because as you swallow the pill, it goes into your stomach, and then the food comes down afterwards. You're pushing the pill out into your small intestine before it gets a chance to work. In theory, by taking the pill before you eat, it's supposed to be able to dissolve in your stomach, and then as the food comes into your stomach, be readily available to help to emulsify what you're eating. It always made a whole lot more sense to me to take the digestive enzyme at the end of a meal. Because now you got the food sitting in your stomach and then you plop in the pills and your stomach's turning like this. It's turning back and forth and back and forth. And that's the beginning of the digestive process as it breaks it down. And then it goes into your duodenum, the first section of your small intestine. And there it's hooked up to your gallbladder and your gallbladder squirts out some more enzymes to help to dissolve the fats that you've absorbed. And then it goes into your small intestine where all of what they call the inside lining of your small intestine has little fingers they call a brush border. And on those little fingers, there's all sorts of different enzymes that digest things. There's millions and millions of them that digest your food as it passes through your GI tract. So because you're having problems with oils, I would wonder if you have a little bit of a problem with your gallbladder, if you need to do a gallbladder cleanse. There is, and I don't even know if this is still available, But we used to have a book in our office. The title of the book was called Are You Stoned? And it was written about, it was a book that I just remember the title because it was so catchy. And it was about gallstones. And it told you a basic recipe that you could do to do a gallbladder cleanse. Well, I don't know if that book is still available or not, but there are lots and lots. You can look up online. You can find a lot of recipes for a gallbladder cleanse. In essence, it's a matter of a combination of olive oil and either lemon juice or cranberry juice that you mix it up and you drink it. And then it forces your gallbladder to squeeze out the stones. And I tell people to take a little bit of with digestive enzymes with it, because it does make you kind of nauseated. And I've always recommended for people to do a gallbladder flush on a Friday of a weekend that you don't have anything planned, because you generally don't feel good over the weekend. You feel kind of nauseated. Your gallbladder's pushing really hard to dissolve and get those stones out. If you have stones or sludge, meaning that your gallbladder just isn't working real well, and your stomach, your side kind of hurts because you're exercising a muscle of that gallbladder, the wall of the gallbladder that you haven't ever done before. And so I've always recommended that if you're going to do it on a Friday night of a weekend that you don't have anything planned. Have some digestive enzymes on board. Be willing to just hang out and lay on the couch or lay in the bed or lay around your pool if you've got a pool outside all weekend. And know that it's going to be not a good weekend. I will also say that most people that I know that have really done a lot with gallbladder flushes, they do them like twice a year. And the first one is usually the most difficult, most rigorous, and most taxing on just, you just don't feel good. And if you do it twice a year, you're pushing out the stones or the sludge before it gets filled up with stones again. And it's much less taxing, much less hard on you as a not feeling well for the weekend. So because it's an oil and because of the smell, I would say that you're not breaking down the oils. And so digestive enzymes would certainly help. Doing a gallbladder flush would certainly help. And it might be parasites. You know, Dr. Jason Dean has a parasite course on learning for you has supplements that he recommends. I'm a strong believer in ivermectin. Ivermectin and parasites, you know, go together. So those are a whole bunch of suggestions, Molly, that I hope will help you get through this issue with avocados and avocado oil and having a smelly poop. I hope that gets better for you. Can I talk about a protocol for lung health, coughing, shortness of breath, fibrosis? Well, fibrosis is scarring of the lung tissue. It usually comes from somebody who's been smoking a long time. That's usually, it's a form of COPD. Not a lot you can do for that, but the coughing and the shortness of breath. There's a supplement called taurine that helps with T-A-U-R-I-N-E that helps with your lungs and your heart to make them stronger. The zeolite spray can help to clean out your lungs and the cough. That's really important. If it's something that has come on sort of suddenly, I have found that taking a short course of hydroxychloroquine seems to help, viral sort of things or just short coughs. 200 milligrams twice a day for 5 to 7 days tends to clear that up. The other things your lungs are pretty delicate organs. And once they've been destroyed, can't readily restore them. I know that ECP helps with COPD in lungs and lung tissue. You know, you can go to tenpennyecp.com, tenpennyecp.com, and learn more about ECP. We have protocols in there about, and they have published studies about how ECP can help with COPD because it helps with perfusion and it helps to clean out the lymphatics. So those are some things that hopefully you can help, that can help a little bit with lung health. It's and know that if you're anywhere near California, or if you're in or anywhere near Ventura, California, that this Friday, this coming Friday, we're having another open house out there. And you can go to the open house. You can get on the bed. You can get a 15-minute trial. The point of doing those 15-minute trials isn't to make you better, but so that you can feel what the ECP treatment is all about. The compression on your legs, the compression across your lower abdomen. ECP is like putting big blood pressure cuffs around your calves, around your thighs, and around your lower abdomen, hooking you up to an EKG machine so your heart pumps, and then the cuffs, and heart pump cuffs, heart cuffs, heart cuffs, heart cuffs, and it kind of sounds like that. So it's to give you a trial, and then the recommended course of treatment is 35 treatments. That has been what's been published in the medical literature since, well, at least 1995. I mean, ECP was actually discovered and first began being used in 1953, became FDA approved for chronic angina in 1995. And then since, it rolled forward, it was used a lot. In 2010, Medicare stopped reimbursing for it. And then the bottom fell out of the usage. But there are so many benefits and so many health benefits that you can get from ECP. So the full course of treatment is recommended to be 35. We sell smaller packages for economic reasons. You can buy it as a 10 pack where you can get 10 sessions. You can do 2 sessions a day for a week, or you can do 1 a day for 2 weeks. We sell it as a 20 pack. When you get to 10, you're just starting to really feel better. The 20 pack is really where it starts to kick in, but it's the 35 pack, the full 35 sessions, is where you get the full benefit of ECP. So this Friday from 12 to 3 p.m. Pacific time, because it is in California, is our ECP open house at ECP Studio. We are in a new location now. We are at 5160 Telegraph Road, Suite 100, which is more downtown Ventura. Before, our other location was out closer to the beach, and so we've moved into downtown, and it's the cutest little office, and they helped us. They put in a new floor and new carpeting, and they painted and put up new window coverings, and the landlord really did right by us. And it's a great place. We also have a Daiwa massage chair there that we can sell those. We sell those in 5 sessions. They are marvelous, and they're really super. It's super good. So it's July from July 12th from 12 to 3 p.m. at 3160 Telegraph Road, Suite 100, which is downtown Ventura. You can RSVP for a complimentary 10 to 15 minute session. The phone number is 805-557-8877. 805-557-8877 as an RSVP so that you can get the time that you want to get on the bed. We only have 2 beds at that location, so it gets filled up really fast. So make sure you RSVP, come and join us and see what ECP can do for you. It's a passive exercise program. It was one of the reasons that I got really interested in it from the beginning, was because, I tell you the truth, I don't really like to exercise. It's a chore for me. You know, I know a lot of people that get up at 4 in the morning, they can't wait to get to the gym, and it's like, that's not me. So if I could get on a bed for an hour and do an hour of passive exercise to improve my heart, to improve my nitric oxide, to improve my overall well-being and my overall functionality. I mean, I was on that bed twice a day for a couple of weeks when I first had the stroke, and I am completely convinced that is why one of the many reasons, the main reason is so many prayers that I got from people, but the one of the physical reasons why I had such a great recovery so quickly. So ECP can do a lot for you. And if I could get on a bed and lay there for an hour and have a machine exercise me for an hour, hey, I'm in for that. So there's lots and lots of reasons. And our second location is here in Cleveland. It's in Middleburg Heights. We have 5 beds in that location. Our open house isn't until the 25th, but you can still call over there and call for a complimentary session. You can buy a BOGO, which you can get 2 sessions for $100. You and a friend can go. That's $50 a piece. And the BOGO is simply to see what it's all about and to feel the experience of it. And that would be a great way to improve your overall health. Next question is, do I have any question information about the med beds? No, I don't, and I prefer not to talk about them. What do you do for female urinary incontinence, specifically surgically on the way to the loo? Oh, specifically surging on the way to the loo? Well, I would first and foremost, I would see whether make sure that you don't have a bladder infection, that the incontinence isn't coming from having a low level infection that's going on that is stimulating your bladder to contract. There is a product. I have to think about it for a second. I haven't used it in a while. It's called D Manos. D, the letter D as in David, dash Manos, M-A-N-N-O-S-E. We have that in our store. D Manos is a great way to wash out any bacteria that's in your bladder. I've had people use it for years, even children. It comes as a powder that you can use it for children that you're potty training and they have a lot of accidents because maybe they have a short urethra. The D-Manos, I've had people that take it after sex because that helps to wash out the bacteria that may have gotten in there after you've had intercourse. The D-Manos is a really good product to use, and I would try that first with the urinary incontinence because you may have some bladder stimulation and some irritation that may be going down there. Another thing is there are physical therapists that do pelvic floor manipulation, that they can help that a lot. It's not a pleasant procedure, but it can really help with the female urinary incontinence. Next question, what to do about stents that were implanted almost 10 years ago? Do they deteriorate and need to be removed? No, they do not need to be removed. They can't be removed. I mean, they go in, they put those stents in, they look like short little cages, and then they form scar tissue to your arteries, and you can't, you would die if they tried to take them out. They don't really deteriorate. They tend to clot. They tend to, they tend to clot over time. So stents that have been there for 10 years, my suggestion would be, if you're not on a blood thinner, if you're not on a like Coumadin or Eliquist or something like that, be sure that you're taking natokinase, 3 tablets at least once a day, preferably at bedtime. The actual dose is 3 tablets twice a day, but be sure you're taking at least natokinase, you're taking vitamin D, and you're taking CardioMiracle, because CardioMiracle will improve your blood flow whether you've had stents or not. And the CardioMiracle is just great. And there's a really special offer that they have right now. Michelle, why don't you explain that special offer to people about CardioMiracle?
Sure. And right now they've actually created a page that's really simple for you all to go to. Diane will put it here into the studio, and I'll get it to Cookie to say it out loud here too. So they used to have canisters if anybody's ever bought the CardioMiracle. So don't get thrown off when you see the deal, because it's still exactly the same thing, except now that it's in a pouch. So if you previously had a canister, I kept mine so I could fill it in when I get the pouches. Keep your canisters if you like them, because they're in pouches now. So one pouch is 10% off, two pouches is 15% off, and 3 pouches will get you a 4th one free. So when I say pouches, those are all 60 servings. So if you have that in mind, normally for myself, I used to get the 90 serving canister. So I would definitely at least get the 2 pouches and get your 15% off if you just want to start off with that. You'll use it. It's literally like I don't go a day, or when I do go a day without it, I regret it. So take advantage of that offer. And let me just see if Diane's created a Bitly link here or not. Give me one quick second, because they've created a page for Dr. T. Give me one sec. Dr. T, you're muted.
CardioMiracle has 52 different nutrients in it. And so it really is the way to get your fruits and vegetables and stimulate your nitric oxide. We think it is a great adjunct with the ECP, because ECP is causing a shear stress on the inside of your arteries, on your endothelial lining. That's the type of tissue that lines your arteries. And that shear stress is what stimulates the internal production of nitric oxide. So that's happening while you're on the ECP table. But in between your treatments or after your treatments, it's a great way to sustain that. It's also a great way to get nutrition, 52 different nutrients in one scoop, and it tastes good. I mean, I know some people were complaining about the new formula doesn't taste well. Well, I think it tastes great. I think it's a lot. It's a little bit sweeter than the other one was. So anyways, and I think a lot of supplements are going to these pouches or supplement companies. I've seen it in a few other places that they're going to these pouches. The pouches tend to be, they're easier to dispose of. Some of them are even made with material that you can compost it. And then instead of the big plastic containers. So I think that that's kind of the way, the trend of the future is for the supplements to come in pouches with like a Ziploc across the top instead of like a bottle that you know, like a bottle that sits on your shelf. It's a little bag of pills that has a little Ziploc thing across the top. So it's going to that. So I hope that
There is a bit.ly link. It's a shorter link for everybody to remember. And that is bit.ly/July Miracle. Simple.
Okay, that's great. July Miracle. That's going to get you those discounts that we just talked about. There's a lot more questions in here. I'm not going to get to all of them today, but I want to answer this next one about what do I think about Biden's mental status? Well, basically, I saw he had such serious mental decline even before the last election. I didn't think he was going to make it to the end of the election because there are forms of dementia that are gradual, that deteriorate, your brain deteriorates over long, long periods of time. And then there are rapidly progressive types of dementia that you see this decline really quickly. I mean, within a matter of months. And I thought that he had rapidly deteriorating dementia. That was just my bedside, my across the room consult. I didn't examine the guy, but I just watched him like the rest of us did. I didn't think he was going to make it till the 2020 election. I'm really surprised at all that's been transpiring. It's going to be an interesting 4 months to see what happens between now and November, whether we even have an election. There's a lot of people who think that we won't. There's a lot of people that say that we will, but it's all going to be controlled. And so our country's in a mess, so be sure you're praying for restoration of our country in the right way to get rid of all these Gila monsters that are running it and to restore us back to God's creation of the way it's supposed to be. So with that, I'm really kind of out of time here this morning. There's a lot of great, there's one other thing that the question that came in here, Donna Marie asked, are multivitamins necessary if you're using CardioMiracle? CardioMiracle does have some vitamins in it and has a lot of nutrients in there from the 52 nutrients that I said. But you probably are things that you need to supplement. Like it doesn't have an adequate amount of vitamin D. It has plenty of vitamin C. It doesn't have enough, I don't think, of curcumin. So there are a lot of things that you should be able to take, that you should take in addition to the CardioMiracle, not in instead of that. Yes, I said 20 milligrams of hydroxychloroquine twice a day. Yes, I said that. Ivermectin is 0.06 milligrams per kilogram per day. And so that's how you, and I take 12 milligrams of ivermectin on Sunday and Thursday. I have friends, I've recently found out that have taken it every day, or they take it Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Keep the parasites out, keep the viruses away. It keeps me healthy. So, and the hydroxychloroquine was 200 milligrams twice a day. That isn't the full protocol, but that will get you started. So we are kind of out of time for this morning. I love doing these morning coffees. I love when you have all the questions that come in. I think they're really, really great. And I hope the ones that we didn't get to this morning, like Liz asked, do I take GlucoControl? It's directed to take before the meal. Would you think it's better to take after? GlucoControl is not an enzyme. It's a way to help balance out your blood sugar. I think it's better to take GlucoControl between meals to sort of help to balance out your blood sugar in between meals, like with that. See, I guess I did get almost all of them down there. Supplements against acne. Michelle, do you know about Dr. Artis's acne program?
I do. He has it's a combination of things. I can get you the link for that as well. I actually did try it. I tried it. The face wash, I kind of stopped it because I actually found that it was making it kind of irritating my skin. But the pills itself, I really did like them. I'll get you some information on that maybe for the next morning coffee.
That sounds good. And the
interesting thing is I think it has D-mannose in it.
Okay. And one last thing, is there a link between hemorrhoids and parasites? Hemorrhoids generally come from food allergies. Now, that's a short answer to a longer thing. Cookie, any quick questions over there on Rumble this morning?
No, it addressed the acne question that came in. And so if you didn't hear S Cloud on Rumble, stay tuned next week for information on the link regarding Dr. Brian Artis's protocol.
Okay. Well, that's great. This great questions this morning, everybody. I just love it when you guys come in and have all kinds of questions. It makes the time just fly by. So I want to thank everybody for joining us here this morning. Thank you to my team. Thank you to Heather for that great book endorsement. And I love this little coffee clutch. This is this cup that I have. It says, "My cup runneth over," Psalm 83:5. My TIMC staff got me that for Christmas this year. So remember that we have 7 broadcasts in a week. We have our Monday this week with Dr. T was a great interview with John Hewlett, who's the president and owner of Cardio Miracle. We're going to leave that up. We're probably going to put it on the ECP site. It was so informative. I mean, I love Cardio Miracle, but we've been talking about it a long time, but that interview really got me going. And then last night on our Brighteon show was a great interview with Mickey Willis. I mean, it just moved your heart. Some of the things that he talked about, some of the stories were kind of life-changing. And then tonight we have Happy Hour with Dr. T. And then on this Thursday, we're starting a 4-part series with Pastor Doug Van Dorn on his new book about the Book of Revelation. It's really fascinating. You won't want to miss it. And of course, you don't want to miss Thursday night, Critically Thinking with Dr. T and Dr. P at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. So with that, I want to thank everybody for being here. And I'm closing with one of my favorite verses from the Bible. I close all my broadcasts with, whether they are live or pre-recorded, which is Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in trouble, and be persistent in prayer. And so until the next time, lean into God, trust Him for everything. We'll see you here next Tuesday morning at Morning Coffee with Dr. T. Have a great week. Goodbye and God bless. Zeolite is a detox spray. We work specifically with a company called Touchstone Essentials. They are an incredible company. We've been working with them now for several years. And zeolite is a mineral that goes through your body like a one-way basket. It will clean out heavy metals such as arsenic and mercury, aluminum, cadmium, and it hooks onto those metals from a one-way perspective. So once it's bound, it goes out through your urine or your stools and doesn't get redeposited in other places. Everybody needs to have a detox product in their life, and this one is so easy to use, and it's so safe. You can take it when you're pregnant. You can take it when you're nursing. You can give it to little children. You can even give it to infants, and quite frankly, I give it to my dog. I actually put a little bit of the zeolite in his water because until we all stop living in a toxic world, we all need to get some of those extra toxicities out, the heavy metals, the persistent organic pollutants, the things that are floating through the air, the different things that we come in touch with in our environment. And we are a big fan of zeolite from Touchstone Essentials. We've been a big, big, big fan of their products for several years. Go to drtenpenny.com/detox to get your first bottle of zeolite spray for $50 off. We also have an apparel line on our store that has just the best things. In fact, I go and shop at my own store. I mean, I really do go and buy stuff out of my own store. They have t-shirts and sweatshirts and cups and mugs and totes. We've got a great designer. We're always adding new things all the time. And either one of those two product lines, either our private label supplements, our Opti line, the white bottles with the green leaves on it, or with the apparel store, and they're two separate stores. They do not have a single shopping cart. It's like you go in one store and get your groceries and you go to the other store and get your shoes. Well, these are two separate stores, but you can use the same affiliate code. If you use the code podcast, when you go to the checkout, you can get 10% off on everything you buy every time you go to the store. Gold and silver always has value. It never goes to zero. And it's a great place to store your wealth. It's a great place to have it for inheritance, for your children, for your grandchildren. And when you can actually get the coins itself, when you can actually do that, you can actually even have a coin collection. I think that some of the older Walking Liberty silver dollars are just amazing, that come from the early 1900s. And I think that everybody should have some of those, not only for history, but as a place to protect your wealth, protect your money going forward. It never goes to zero. Like our paper fiat money with hyperinflation and the things that we may be seeing in the future, our dollar could literally go to zero, could be worth nothing. You might even not even be able to barter with it, but you will always have value in gold and silver. You'll always be able to eat with it. You'll be able to trade with it. And it's a great place to store your wealth. Particular company that we work with, because we really, again, trust their product. We believe that this company has a high level of integrity and they are great with customer service. To learn more, go to bit.ly/gold-silver-DRT. That's bit.ly/gold-silver-DRT.